You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what lesbians have found.
Let's hang out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
Welcome back to Let's Hang Out. I'm Ellie Brigida.
And I'm Lee Holmes Foster. And here's what's happening this week.
This Week in the Lesdom.
This Week in the Lesdom is a place where we can touch base each episode about things going on with the podcast or otherwise. And we are so excited because we are bringing back trivia. And we have First Kill Trivia coming up on October 27th at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Already, our Twitter is ablaze with all of the First Kill fans. Ready for trivia, so we cannot wait to see you and spooky it up with you.
You're ready, we're ready, everyone's ready. Also, we are ready for our next Patreon-only bonus episode. That's right, in season six right now, we have started releasing special episodes for all of our Patreon supporters, and they are on a whole host of things. So right now we've been focusing mostly on some of the movies that people request a lot, but that we don't have time to spend a whole episode on. So we are going to be putting out our next episode today on Grey Matters. You're going to want to hear all of our thoughts on this. If you are already a Patreon supporter, you can head on over to patreon.com to get that episode. If you are not and you want to join, you can find our Patreon at bit.ly/lespatreon. This is our third bonus episode that's come out this season. We have more that are going to be coming out. You're not going to want to miss them. So get on it.
Cannot wait. Also, in the greater Les universe, there's something in the water because people are coming out left.
It's almost
and right.
Like it was just National Coming Out Day or something.
Oh my God, that makes sense. I'm like, why is everyone coming out right now? It's so weird. That's hilarious. You know how gay I am? I forgot it was National Coming Out Day because like I came out so long ago. You know
it
what
happens.
I mean?
It happens.
Ugh, I'm sorry. But I am happy for all of you who are coming out, who are sharing your coming out posts on National Coming Out Day. In particular, there have been some notable ones. Madonna came out. Have you seen this video, Lee?
Yeah, NBD. NBD. Yeah, yeah. Of course I saw this video. I'm on TikTok, please.
So Madonna came out in the way that Madonna's going to come out. I think, Lee, you're very excited about this next one, right?
I am excited about this next one. I have to say, like, both of these absolutely fall into the, like, we've been new kind of
It's not surprising.
Space. But, like, listen, the fact that Shay Mitchell officially came out, like, as bisexual, labeled herself as such, I'm still here for it, okay? I don't care that we all knew already, just like we all have known about Madonna for a while. It's still exciting, and we want to celebrate when people take that step for themselves. So welcome, Shay Mitchell. If you want to come on the podcast, let us know.
Please.
We're happy to have you.
I also would like to shout out Mia Imani Jones. I don't know if anyone is a fan of F-Boy Island, but
I was a
Are you a fan of F Boy Island?
I was a huge fan. I am a huge fan. Love it. And Mia was one of the contestants on season two. And she just came out.
Incredible.
It was amazing. I saw all these videos pop up on my Instagram and I was like, Mia is a lesbian. My life is complete. So super happy for you and for all of us. Like, it's just been a really great, great week for the gays.
You know, I have to say, it's like October between like coming out day and then you got like gay Christmas at the end of the month. Like, it really feels like it's just this October in particular feels very like it's the most wonderful time of the year. Like, it's been a good time for the gays lately. That's all
I'm saying. It really has.
So that's what's happening this week. Back to you, Ellie and Lee.
Thanks, Ellie and Lee, and welcome to our 92nd installment of Should Have Been Gay.
Oh, it was fun, it was great, but it should have been a little more gay.
And in this week's episode, did I do it? Did I make Revenge Mommy proud?
You always make Revenge Mommy proud, Lee.
Ah, thanks.
Oh my gosh.
Wow, we're getting into our praise kinks early in this episode.
Yeah,
that's
so
good.
So excited for this. So excited because we're talking about Do Revenge today. And we have a very, very special guest, Kristen Murison. Hi, Kristen.
Hello, everyone.
So excited to have you here. Kristen has been on an episode before. Kristen is our Les Hangout production assistant, does a million things behind the scenes and makes this show run. So you probably know her from our Patreon Discord chats, all that fun stuff. She is also a mermaid at Kristen Sparkles. If you want to check out all of her mermaid stuff. Kristen, so happy to have you here.
I am so, so happy to be back. I mean, it's really been just such a long time since I talked to either of you.
So long. You almost
like
never talked to us.
15 minutes.
Yes.
Incredible. Also, I forgot to mention that one of the reasons we're having Kristen on for this particular episode is because, Kristen, you are a Do Revenge expert, you would say.
Yes. Yes, I would say, actually, that I am an expert in Do Revenge and also in revenge mommy activities.
We'll dive more into that in therapy next week.
Well, and maybe can I start us off with like two quick, I don't know, caveats, PSAs?
Yeah, yeah,
what
course,
do I want to call
course.
These? Okay, two quick things. One, yes, I'm sick. I sound like this. You're going to listen to it all episode. Deal with it. Number two, yes, this is another installment of what should really be called, like, should have been gay. Like, we're going to talk about it. Don't worry, everyone. We did see the movie. Jesus, Kristen's watched it like 12 times. Okay.
Yes.
We've seen it. We know.
Well, and that's why, like, when we talk about our experience with, we can talk about the beautiful gay parts of this film. Like,
yes,
it's wonderfully
yes, for sure.
gay.
We may do a Les Centrals on it someday. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
You
but
know?
I like, just listen. Feel like we needed to talk about it. Right. Like, it was something we needed to talk about. And the easiest way for us to do that is to get it on a Should Have Been Gay. And you all know how we're going to make this differently gay. We just have a different ship, as a lot of you do, too. So
this is going in the vein of our Faberi episode where we're like, sure, Glee was gay, but OK.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
but like also, according to AO3, all of you agree.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, I don't see basically anything for the actual canon.
And you're
yeah,
all correct.
Yeah,
let's
yeah.
be honest.
So there's
okay?
no fanfic for Gabby like, at all.
You
right,
had
seen,
you had to know
exist.
This was coming.
Yep.
Like, nobody didn't see this coming.
Like, we all didn't see the twist coming at the end of this film. All right, so let's dive in. I love this movie. Let's talk about it. So what's our IMDb synopsis, Lee? Hit us.
Okay. Our IMDb synopsis for any poor souls who have yet to watch Do Revenge. A, what are you doing with your life?
Please
it is on
it.
Netflix. Just go watch it. The IMDb synopsis, I kid you not, is as follows. Drea and Eleanor agree to go after one another's bullies. The end. That's it. End
That's
synopsis.
It.
That's literally, That's it. I'm 100% serious. That's the synopsis up on IMDb right now. Which feels like
All
a
right,
hate crime.
Yeah, I think
it kind of feels like someone was writing and then they got like really tired and they forgot to
yeah.
go back. Shit.
We're like, actually,
like,
I'm not
what is? Did we have to pay per word on this one? What is happening?
Yeah.
Like,
but we can do better. Is the point? So,
okay,
what's our gay synopsis? I'm gonna start with you, Kristen, since you're the Do Revenge expert.
In this Gen Z version of Mean Girls, Eleanor and Drea compete for who can be the ultimate revenge mommy at the gayest high school to ever exist, while quickly discovering that they are actually fucked up soulmates.
Perfect.
Amazing.
That's what I saw. That's what happened.
That's
I love
definitely
it.
What happened.
Ellie, what about you?
Okay, so here's mine. Drea's ex-girlfriend, Tara, starts dating her ex-boyfriend, Max. So she starts to plan revenge on them with the new girl, Eleanor, and, surprise, surprise, Kristen, finds her fucked up soulmate.
You just can't, like, not use that.
You have to. You have to.
Wait, sorry, should I rewrite mine now?
Yeah, you have to.
Good fucked up soulmate.
If you're gonna make a lesbian synopsis of Drea's Revenge, it must include the words fucked up and soulmate.
Okay, okay, hold on. I'll pull an audible right now. We'll rewrite this real quick. Okay, here's my new gay synopsis for this movie. Drea and Eleanor flirt for about 2 hours straight. This movie refuses to pay off and give us our fucked up soulmates.
Yep.
Okay, yeah. I got it. Perfect. Did it. I made it work.
I also have one more.
I am curious about, like, your original one, though.
It was just sort of a different ending. Same beginning.
Yeah.
Didn't include fucked up soulmates. That's all.
I also have one more that's just, I want revenge mommies to back me over with their Teslas.
Yes.
Correct. Less an IMDb synopsis, more of just like a Christmas wish, you know?
Like, I would like the revenge mommies to hit me with their Tesla and then reverse back over.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Jesus.
I would like the revenge mommies to stuff me like a taxidermy doll and hang me on the wall.
We're not going to talk about anything for the next hour. It's just going to be us talking about how we would like to be physically injured by Drea and Eleanor. Great.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good to me. Give me one.
Like, honestly, Sarah Michelle Gellar too.
Listen, I was trying to hold it up my sleeve, but like, you're so right. You're so right.
Like,
we're for sure gonna be talking about Sarah Michelle Gellar. Listen, the real like thesis for this movie is every girl, woman, everyone in this should be gay. They should be lesbians. They are lesbians. I should have been gay. Your is the point. Okay, listen.
Okay, Lee. I agree with you, but I also feel like there's quite a few bisexuals in this.
There's a lot.
True story.
Like, quite a few.
There's a lot of people who are straight up, I think, just like pansexual, like they
would do. Yeah, everyone is super fluid. I feel like that's why I love this movie in general, because like, obviously we're saying
anyone
should have been gayer, but like the movie was actively gay. Like, they were not shying away from gayness. Like, Eleanor's super gay. Eleanor's super queer and is like, I don't care that like, about her outing me, like, everyone's gay, right? Like, the whole thing is like so just like fucking Max is this manic pixie dream boy, but like, he's so bi.
I mean, his earrings. Hello.
Yeah, so we'll dive in. But what was your experience with this film, Kristen? You have had a very intimate relationship with this film. Let's talk about it.
So the second this film was released, I watched it. Like, I stayed up. Like, I wasn't going to bed when Drea's Revenge was on. I mean, that wasn't going to happen. So I immediately watched this film. And then I immediately watched this film again. Like, I did not. Mm-hmm. There was no pause between the rewatch. Like, it played and then I pressed play again. Like, that's just how it was going to go. And I was just so delighted. And then I continued to watch it like every single day because I don't know, my brain, like the ADHD just like fixated on it. And it was like, this is what we're doing now. This is the only thing that you care about. And so, and then of course, when I wasn't doing that, I went to archive and I was like, so I wonder what other people are doing. And then they were all just writing basically fixes to put Drea and Eleanor together. And I was like,
yep,
I knew it. Everyone's correct on the same page. Good.
You know what I love? I love content sometimes where you can just tell that like the gays are like, wow, getting ready to make this my entire personality now.
Like, yeah, fair. I was like, oh, great. Finally, because I felt like all the kids like made First Kill their whole personality, but I felt like a little too old to make First Kill my personality. Mm. So I was really excited that there was something I could use as my personality. I was like, good. I needed something. I mean, last year it was Bly Manor. Like, I really needed like a new one to like cycle
in. Yeah, yeah. You got to switch it up. You know? You got to cycle.
Motherland slowed down. So like, I couldn't like focus as much on Taldr. Like, I need more things. So I was like, all right, this is going to be my new ship. This is what I care about now. And also, the soundtrack is like the biggest bop of the year.
The
like,
soundtrack is fucking, it's insane. It slaps. Every song slaps.
Yeah. As I was watching it last night, I just kept writing down the songs because I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Immediately downloaded the soundtrack and I've been listening to it like every day. Like, driving the car or taking a shower. Like, it's really fun. It's just fun for all situations. And it's the gayest soundtrack I've heard.
It really is.
I mean, it has Hayley Kiyoko.
Phoebe.
The first thing in this movie, the first thing you hear, right? Like the first song out the gate in this movie is For the Girls. And I was just like, sold. Just yes.
Like it's not even an Eleanor scene. Like it's supposed to be not even like necessarily a gay scene, quote unquote. And but yes, it like clearly is because they're opening up to Hayley Kiyoko's For the Girls. Like you can't open a movie on that and have that not mean anything.
Okay, but wait, let's pause on the soundtrack for now. Ellie, what was your experience with Do Revenge?
I'm not sure if I watched it the first day, but I definitely watched it very soon after it came out. And me and Jana watched it, and like, it didn't take very long. I feel like it was like, I was like 5 minutes in when I was like, this movie is gonna be amazing. Like, it just like from the beginning really just gets you. Like, the writing is great. Like, the gayness of Eleanor is incredible. Like, but even like the gayness of Drea. Like, you mostly are hanging with Drea and Tara for the first
time. The gayness of Tara.
Yeah. Like, all of them together, the Instagram witch. So it's just like everything that I was seeing was like, wow, this is really, I was expecting it to be good and it exceeded my expectations. So I loved it. And then I just watched it again last night to prep for this episode. So I'm here. I'm ready. How about you, Lee?
Wow, I feel very outclassed now because I didn't have a chance to watch it again.
It's okay.
But
I mean,
I mostly did it for myself.
Like, let's be real. It's like not even for this episode.
To my own credit, we watched this like very soon after it came out for Kelsey and I will say. Granted, it was also very funny, our experience of watching this, because anything that's like over an hour, we can't watch in a single evening because we don't have that much time in our lives. No. And so we did have to watch, like, we watched half of it one night and then we like came back and watched the second half the other night, which is a fucking wild experience with this movie because we spent a whole day like thinking we knew what movie we were watching. And we were so wrong. And we'd been talking like so much about being like, oh my God, this is like so fun. Like, this is such a like, it's so interesting to like contrast this movie with like the Mean Girls of our generation, you know? And like, we were sort of doing that for like way too long until we found out what movie we were actually watching, which was very kind of fun. It was just a roller coaster of emotions were happening by the second night of finishing up this movie. And I would love to watch it again because I can see why there is value in doing that. I will get there. We've just, you know, we've had other things to catch up on. So
yeah, whole reason for immediately pressing play when it ended was because you're watching it from a completely different perspective the next time.
Oh yeah, like, it changes.
I wanted to see like what it would look like from the perspective of knowing and like how much it would like color it differently and like whether I'd be able to tell like in her actions and like
it's crazy because even just like in the I went back and I was just sort of like scrolling through it on Netflix and like watching a couple scenes here and there to get our outline ready tonight, and I can already tell you that it's like the whole scene in the car where she's like telling her the story in the beginning is like wildly different when you know what's happening. It's insane. So yeah, I'm excited for a rewatch eventually, but you know, I'll defer to the two experts here tonight. That's all.
No. But yeah, it definitely warrants at least one, if not like many, many, many rewatches. Like, I also feel like this is maybe just like me talking about being old, but whatever. The older you get, I feel like the less there's like a new movie that like really works
really
its way
grabs you. Yeah.
Into like your, I don't know, like when you're younger, like your brain is more like, oh, I'm gonna obsess over this thing, right?
Yeah.
Well, like, and also because you're like, I've seen 10 movies so far. And
Like, right, I'm like,
a
oh.
Solid 10% of what I've
and
seen.
You know what's so weird? Like, I feel like I remember my dad saying that to me when I was younger, where he's like, you've seen one movie, you've seen them all. Like, you know, like they keep just making the same shit over and over. And it's like, okay, it's sort of true, but like this.
It's like not entirely wrong.
Is the same, but not. It just really grabs you. So.
No, it's not. It's not.
It's not the same. And it also, it has like, I don't know, it has like that cult classic movie energy, like as if like it's going to enter, like I feel like it could easily enter that sphere. Like it could be that.
Yeah. For sure. So let's talk about the gayness. Should we talk about the specific gayness before we talk about the like subtextual gayness?
The gay that actually
or is it all just
going
to come through? Let's just talk about the gayness in general. Let's talk about it all. So first of all, Eleanor herself, we already know. Lesbian, out. I said this at the beginning. She's so like confident in her sexuality. Like she's just like, yeah, I'm gay. Like I don't give a fuck that I'm gay.
Like who cares? Everybody's like, gay.
Yeah, yeah. But
listen, I know we've said this a couple times in episodes recently, Ellie. But I just feel like Eleanor in that scene in the car, Eleanor in that shirt, in that backwards baseball cap, being like, I didn't so much care that she outed me, like whatever, everyone's gay. Like she is the blueprint. She is
the blueprint.
Like that, I was just like, wow. Yeah.
Well, and also
I love it.
I just really love that plot point of like the lesbian villain origin story.
Yes.
That like it resonates, right? Like how
there's also something like really relatable in the pettiness of holding that grudge since she was 13.
Like literally the entire point of this film is for her to get revenge on someone who hurt her 4 years ago? Four or five years ago.
Yeah. At least.
5 years ago. That is like an entire like college experience worth of time.
And we're gonna talk about the obsession level there for sure.
Yes.
Holding on to some shit, Eleanor.
Really holding on to some shit. But like I feel like for me, I want to talk like, and then we do have Gabby, who I will say I also love Gabby's character. I don't want to like, but I still feel like even though we have Gabby as a lesbian and Drea's love interest, Russ, Gabby and Russ are like so
afterthought.
The film just like doesn't push them forward enough.
Yeah.
To make me care about either of them.
I agree. I love Gabby. Because we have three for sure like lesbian characters in this movie, right? We have Eleanor, we have Carissa, we have Gabby. And like, love that. Totally here for it. I love that they gave her a love interest and like leaned in and were like, you're gay, here's your girlfriend. Great. But I agree. And I feel like, okay, while we're talking about all of the like actual gay stuff of this movie, it cracks me up as I'm talking about how much Kelsey and I were like looking back and like comparing this to movies that came out like when we were in like high school and college and whatever. How many Should Have Been Gays have we done that basically rest on like the brother trope, Ellie?
Yep.
I just love that we have. I love that we have a completely like white bread, uninteresting, unexplored sister. I'm just like, yes. Give me that energy.
Give us the sister instead of the brother.
Give us the sister. Like, please. Yeah, do it. Come on, do revenge. Like, because it's the same thing. And I feel like we get a lot of flack when we're doing these. Like, we have gotten so much feedback from people who are like, what, like, can't girls be friends? And we're like, absolutely, that is not the point here. That is not the point. Like, the point is, when you write movies where all of your chemistry is not in your couples, like, we are going to find the chemistry elsewhere, whether that chemistry is, like, missing from gay couples or not. Like, when you keep getting, you know, 90s, early aughts protagonists with the uninteresting brother that we do not care about, we're gonna ship something else. And, like, here too, man, it doesn't matter you made him gay and Gabby's actually, like, also gay and they're dating. That's not where your chemistry is. So, like, I love it. It, like, flipped the whole trope on its head for me. And I was like, how delightful that I don't care about the sister.
So delightful. I do care about her, but
I think
it's just because, number one, she's hot. Number two, like, the actress is pretty fucking good.
Like, no, she's
they
great.
Didn't give her
I like
a lot.
Gabby. I don't care about their relationship because they don't give us enough.
I like the way she plays, like, her body language. Like, I like the way she plays the character. She has a very
specific... You mean
specific,
she's gay? She's very she's gay?
Extremely gay. Like, the,
so gay.
The energy is, like, the gayest, like, boyfriend energy I've ever seen in my life. And there's something so attractive about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sometimes when people are like, I don't get it. Like, why didn't you like, you know, this straight actor like playing a gay character? And you're like, because they just did not see. Let's talk Katherine Heigl in
Jenny's
in Jenny's Wedding. Like, could not look further from Gabby in respect to their gayness level. Like, everything Gabby does, you're just like, ah, a giant lesbian. I see you. Hooray.
The second she shows up.
I was like, yes, oh, well, like
she
lesbian.
Just stands there. She stands there like a giant lesbian. That's
she
it.
She sits when she's sitting on the kitchen counter.
On the kitchen counter. Oh. That's like the sexiest way to sit. I don't understand it.
That was good.
Just like the way she like hoists herself down really like, yeah, it's really did something there. But
when she turns Kristen, around tell and us says, more, though. Good to know you'd be down.
Yeah, good to know you'd be down.
Oh
though.
My god, the flirting is top notch. Yeah, I mean
they
she's,
do have chemistry.
They do, but I feel she like has so much more with Drea that it's like
I feel like they have the chemistry of like a one night stand.
Okay, here's
and
my
her
question.
And Drea have the
Sorry.
Chemistry of soulmates.
No, no, not to harp on this point. Do they have chemistry, or does Gabby have chemistry?
It might be Gabby.
Valid. Gabby has chemistry with the wall. You're
okay,
correct.
Wait. Let me rephrase that another time. Let me ask it a different way. Do they have chemistry, or does everyone just find Gabby hot?
I think it's that.
Valid.
Yeah. Okay. It's that one. It's that one. We all know.
All right,
let's
fine.
Be real. Nothing you're saying here involves Eleanor's character at no. all. You're like, when Gabby says this line, like, they have chemistry. And I'm like, no, you're just
fine.
A little into Gabby. And that's allowed. That's
when Gabby,
fine.
When Eleanor Gabby sits into a certain Gabby. Way, you know?
Eleanor is into Gabby, though. Like, she's
not,
she
not, not
plus
as much as she's into Drea.
She's
okay.
attracted to her, but is she, like, in love with her? No.
All right, so that's the real gayness. And then Carissa, I was dying when she said, Carissa. You called me a human Birkenstock. I think Carissa's a good segue into, we know Eleanor, Carissa, and Gabby are canon queer. But Drea, let's discuss Drea. For the movie, is straight.
I
right?
don't know. I think maybe she's like,
listen.
I think that comment, the comments that she made about the headmaster, like about Sarah Michelle Gellar, like straight girls don't talk about women like that. They don't say they want them to back them over with their car. Like that's not a thing that straight people say about women.
Here's what I'm going to say, Ellie. They're in high school. Drea is straight the way you were straight in high school.
Well, that's
okay?
But that's what I'm saying. For the purposes of the film,
yes,
Drea
yes,
never
yes.
says ostensibly. That she is gay yeah. in the same way that every single other one of the queer characters self-identifies
yes,
themselves,
say it. Yeah.
right?
But like, so, no queer person watching her character was like, oh yes, I see nothing of myself in this.
Oh no, I agree. That's why I feel like we need to talk about the should have been gay with Drea. To yes. clarify that, like, she's not gay, quote unquote, in the film, but there is a huge amount of evidence that she's super queer. So let's dive
Drea's,
in.
Drea's, like, whole overarching thing also is that she, like, chameleons her way into this lifestyle and that, like, everything about what she's doing at school is fake and that, like, dating Max is for a role. Like, everything she's doing is to fill this role for, like, the way she thinks a perfect life is supposed to look. And that's there's something very gay in that because that's, like, what you do when you're in the closet and when, like, you know, like, this is the ideal of, like, what you're supposed to do. And so, like, you try to fill this role and get the perfect boyfriend that's, like, the one, you know, it's, like, when you're like the closeted cheerleader who goes for like the football play, like that's just
oh,
what
yeah.
we're seeing here with Drea.
Her whole life is a facade, right? She's like, what is the thing that everyone wants to see and how do I be it and how do I use that to get ahead? But like, you're so right, Kristen, because can we just talk about, I'm sorry, you're like, you get the fake boyfriend and whatever. The scene that still, thinking back on it, kills me
the
most about
the car scene.
With her and Max?
Yeah.
Yes.
When she doesn't even really give a crap about kissing him.
Could not be less interested in this man. Like, she could not give fewer fucks about her boyfriend trying to hook up with her. And, like, that whole scene, I was just like, what is happening here? Because, again, Like, and here's why it's so funny, because we do this all the time with movies, but usually you're doing it with movies where you're like, okay, clearly you didn't have any gay people involved in the making of this. Or if you did, like, they snuck a lot of stuff past you. And this movie is so gay, and I'm like, there have to have been gay people involved. Like, there's no way that there weren't. How do you write that scene and not realize how gay it is? Like, how?
It comes up again with her with Russ, too, because she's like, not into him at all when he's like going down on her. She's like faking the whole time and literally looking at like pictures Eleanor on
like,
what are you doing?
It ridiculous.
Your boyfriend is trying to have sex with you and you're just like scrolling through Instagram looking at these pictures of Eleanor. Like, are you kidding me?
And she's just like, yawn, I came, get on up here now. Like, Jesus. It's insane to write that character with as much gay content as you have in this movie and not know how it comes across. I'm like, that's
they
not
have to they know.
Heterosexual they behavior.
Know. I kind of feel like they do know. Like,
I they mean, know. They'd have to. They'd they have know. To. Because that's like it from right out the gate. Like, we started watching this. Here's what's funny. When I started watching this with Kelsey, the only thing that I knew going in is that all the gays were watching it. And I knew that their characters would not get together in the movie, right? Because I started watching it right after all of those videos of the
actors
of Maya and Camilla doing the lie detector interview. Yeah, we'll talk about those, I'm sure. So I watched it right after that, and I knew that everyone was posting that they didn't get together in the movie. And so I was assuming, I like start the movie and I was like, oh my god, like, we're for sure gonna have to do a Should Have Been Gay on this, aren't we? And then I realized like quickly that I was like, oh, it's actually gay, haha, maybe we won't. But then every fucking scene with Drea, I was just like, oh my god, honey, like, yeah, your boyfriend's trying to kiss you and you're just like, mm-hmm, like scrolling on my phone.
In the car too, like literally he's all over her, right? And then like she's like, oh yeah, yeah, whatever. And then
she's
he's like
barely even looking
he's
at
like,
him.
Kiss he like has to tell her, like, will you kiss me? Like,
yes.
She was
she's
like,
not paying any
she's
attention.
Like, yeah, yeah, yes. Fine.
And then she goes home to record the video for him, and I'm just like, who are you thinking about, babe? Like,
who
is
this video actually for?
Tara.
Like, I'm sorry, but like Tara. It's funny how you can get excited when he's not there.
And
does
yeah.
that tell you something? And who is on your mind right now? Because it is not him.
Also,
for sure.
Like, Max as a boyfriend is a very queer boyfriend.
Yes.
The earrings, the just like
yeah.
slender
his
feminine body
in general. His mannerisms are very queer, like his whole being, really.
He is such a funny, like, not like funny. What's the word I want to use? He's such an interesting choice for the heartthrob, like, teen guy, because agreed, I feel like his attractiveness is not based on a lot of like hyper masculine characteristics.
No, it's a very like more feminine.
It's a very femme energy attractiveness that he's got going on. He's got the flowing hair and he's like, he's beautiful, right? It's like more how you would describe him.
Yeah,
like, I don't
he's
think
pretty.
I wouldn't look at that dude and be like, what a handsome, rugged guy. I'd be like, yeah, he's pretty.
He's a
pretty boy. Like, that's kind of what you can give him. And I just. Interesting choice, let's say.
Very interesting choice.
I also do think you're onto something, that she is thinking about Tara when she does the thing, because I think,
oh my god, please,
her and Tara have a lot of like unresolved sexual tension. Like, even just the party that Tara throws is like so incredibly extra. Like, I'm sorry, that's a gay party. Like, no straight person throws a party like that's that
that that party is giving us like Lena Luthor filling your office with flowers kind of, and like friend energy.
Yeah.
Right? Where you're like, yeah,
I love
just
you
like
so much. I'm going to literally throw a party dedicated to you.
And literally make like a flower sculpture out of your body. Like, what?
Just normal straight friendship stuff. Yeah.
Wild. And at that party too, like, I just feel like you really see them when it starts. They're together. They're arm in arm. They're like connected. And I feel like when...
Just walking to Hayley Kiyoko like you do.
Yeah. And like when when she loses everything, when Drea loses everything, I really feel like Tara's the thing that hits her the hardest. She's pissed at Max and wants to fuck his life up. But I don't think she's upset that he's not in her life.
No. Like, she doesn't get like really upset until Tara has that like call where she says like that she's not going to like hang out with her that summer or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like then she really takes it and goes like, oh, we're not having this. Like she was really, it wasn't that big of a deal when it was just the guy.
Yep.
And like there's that thing about queer friend breakups and how seriously intense they are and how sexually charged they are.
That shit hits hard. And then, of course, like that like displacement too on Tara, because I think Tara was in love with Drea too, where she's like, I guess what I should do now is I should date Max. Like, what yep. are you doing, Tara?
Who hasn't done that? Like, I don't know. I've done that.
Like, classic. Just...
And then when
classic.
When I did that in high school.
She's like, these lips have touched her lips.
Yeah, I literally did that. I was like, this is good enough. Like, this is the second best thing. Like, this is basically like being with her, but like indirectly.
And when Tara and Max are about to have sex at that party.
And she brings
up Drea. And he's like, we're about to have sex. Like, it's weird that you're talking about my ex. And she's like, actually, I don't want to have sex with you at all. Goodbye. I'm like, this is incredible.
Was like, she was my best friend. Like, as if that was like a reason why that would be like, I'm sorry. No, you're not just best friends. Like, you're in love with her.
And then, let's just wrap up Tara a bit, because we have way more about Drea. Then we go full circle. And at the end, Tara comes back and is like, I'm so sorry. I made a huge mistake. Like when she finds out that she got hit by a car and she's like, her whole like, she's like, I can't believe I almost lost the love of my life. That's it. And
Yay, then are you she invites okay?
her to, and she invites her to the party and is like, we can do whatever we want.
What do you think Tara had planned, Ellie?
I mean, they were in a like intense cuddle puddle before. Yeah. Drea and Eleanor have that little fight. So I think it was going to be some sort of.
Yeah, they were all cuddling and doing some K. Like, I felt like they were going to, like, maybe have, I don't know, maybe they would have that fun orgy. Maybe her brother is cool enough. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the only night, though. Not before. Ugh. But I'm glad that Max didn't get to benefit from an orgy at that point.
Fuck Max, dude. Whatever. Let's take a hot minute. We're going to hear from some sponsors and we will be.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Be right back.
But let's talk a bit more about Drea. What do we think is the gayest thing about Drea?
I want to give a shout out to Drea in her little overalls outfit.
Oh yeah, she looks so cute.
Her little, she really knows how to rock some overalls.
Oh, also, I wanted to point out when Drea at the beginning compares herself to Icarus, like really mythology gay energy.
Mm, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Like, come on, you're just exposing yourself here.
Love it, love it. I want to lean in to Drea and her relationship with the headmaster.
Mm-hmm. Because she sees her and is like, mommy? Question mark. Mommy? Sorry. Mommy?
Yeah. It's like real that energy going on. And I just love that, like, when she has that conversation, when they're talking about the headmaster later and they're doing that whole, like, I want her to run me over with her car. Like, she's so comfortably into it, and like she's like, it's not like just Eleanor sitting there running down this list of like mommy sorry kind of things, right? Like,
no, Drea's fully involved.
Drea's
like, she's
into it. Yeah,
she starts it.
Yes.
Yeah,
like that's what I'm saying, is like that whole scene she is just like, the gay is jumping out.
I feel like
saying.
The way Drea talks is very, she uses a lot of like gay terminology. Like, I mean, even just like knowing terms like crunchy granola lesbian. Like, I mean, do straights like talk like that? Because I don't think they do. I mean, I just don't.
You know too much.
Like, Drea, like, I just want to know, like, why do you know all of this?
Well, that part cracked me up in the car, because you're right. Right. She says, oh, that crunchy granola lesbian. Yeah, I've seen her. Right,
yeah,
she's
exactly.
Like, she's
what
like,
was that?
She's like, oh yeah, yeah, I know her. Like, there's like a weird way that she says it. That she's like,
yeah,
she's like, oh, I have given myself away. Oh yeah, yeah, I guess I've seen her around. You know, Like, never noticed
her.
She's
like, oh, wait, I wasn't supposed to say that.
Yeah. Like, it's very, like, only a gay person would say that. Yeah, a lot of the shit she does is so gay.
I just feel like everything she says is really gay. Like, I just, I don't know. And then, also her whole thing about, like, her spiel about when she's remaking Eleanor, she's like, it's fine. Just sometimes you have to pretend, basically, to be straight to get what you want. Like, she's like, you have to pretend to be someone else to get what you want.
Disassociate from your body.
Yes.
How is that?
Oh my God.
Like a straight person, like a person pretending to be straight, like hiding their, like that's what you'd have to do. So, I mean.
And doing that whole, like doing all of those things, the whole rundown that she gives Eleanor during all of the makeover scenes, they're just, the flirting is a lot between these two. Like, this is a slow burn situation.
That whole Glennergy thing when she, like, yes, got really turned on because she was seemed like Glenn. Like, she was definitely turned on. Like,
the hair on her arms is standing up.
Yeah.
Because of how sexy Maya
she
was
wanted
being
to
in that
jump
moment.
Eleanor in that moment. Like, she.
Dude, yeah. And I'm serious. Look, like, go back to the scene where she's putting the makeup on her when Eleanor's in the little, like, head wrappy, you know, like, the way that Eleanor is sitting and the way that Drea is standing in relation to how Eleanor is sitting is, like, that's not friends, babes. That's not.
They are always in each other's personal space. They are, like, talking into each other's mouths half the time. Like, they are really close.
They are very close. And I'm kind of into it. Like, I feel like I want that scene, I swear I thought was going in a different direction. I'm like, you're standing, like, in between her legs, like, super into putting her makeup on. And I just, I don't know, dude. I wanted it to go somewhere else. That's
it
all.
It gives me, like, Cruel Intentions makeover vibes.
Mm. Mm.
And, you know, like, that scene where, speaking of Sarah Michelle Gellar, where she literally is getting so close to Selma Blair and then she starts kissing her in the freaking, like, that's how close they were.
Yeah. Yes.
That's how close they were.
They could have just kissed right then. I mean.
And just, like, there is nothing gayer, I feel like, than, maybe this is just me, but, like, I feel like there's, like, something so intimate about, like, somebody doing your makeup.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
I mean, they're right there in your face.
Let me just,
like,
hold your face.
And, like, and, like, hold you and, like, put some stuff on your lip. Like, come on. Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm. That is a gay makeover. And then she's like, you're so hot. I've done it. There's many other times where they're super physically intimate. The one scene that I feel like is the most, they should, like, how do they not have sex, is when they're in bed together.
Stop.
Feet to head to start, right? Okay, so, like, they're feet to head. Eleanor's feet are next to Drea's head. They're having that whole conversation, right? And Drea starts to get really upset because now she knows that Max had been cheating on her. Right. And as she gets upset, Eleanor, like, flips to be face to face. That scene is so intimate
and gay,
especially because that's, like, a moment where Eleanor basically gives her an in for if she wants to, like, come out, because she's like, you don't have to be brave with me. You don't have to, like, fake things with me. Like, you can be yourself, basically. And that just seemed like that would be, like, a good moment if she wanted to, like, be herself.
And then she says, come here.
Mm-hmm.
She puts her head on her boob and she's stroking
her
hair.
And then she's stroking her hair and she does, like, the little scratch. It's just.
And then Drea says, I like you, Eleanor. You're just like me.
Oh, my God. Stop.
It was the best line because I'm like. Because you could read it as, like, you're just like me, as, like, we're both psychopaths. But it's like, you're just like me, like, we're both gay.
Yeah.
We're both gay. I see myself in you.
Yeah.
And I feel like when I first watched this movie, this was the moment where I first clocked that something weird was going on with Eleanor.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was like, yes, we are. And she's, like, stares creepily in the distance. And I was like, did I just, like, see something weird? I was like, she was creepy as hell. Like, what just happened? So I sort of saw that twist coming. Like, because I did notice that she was weird as hell in that scene. However, I do feel like that could have been a moment where Eleanor was, like, conflicted.
I think there's a couple of moments where Eleanor is very conflicted over how she feels about it, like what she's doing.
Oh, for sure.
Like a lot of moments, actually.
Well, and it's funny because the thing is in that scene, I mean, like, yes, you start to get like a vibe from Eleanor that you like can't quite figure out yet. But what I think is interesting is I didn't see what it was still then, because so much of what happens afterwards is you're watching Eleanor be upset that Drea's not being a better friend to her for so long after that, right? Like, you're not watching her be upset that she's like, wow, why doesn't Drea remember what she did to me? Why doesn't she see that she's being played? Like, no, she goes through a significant portion of this movie where she is legitimately upset that she's like, I care about you and all you care about is revenge now.
Yeah, you don't care about me equally, and that sucks.
And so I was like, that scene to me, like, for a long time, even in hindsight, like with everything else that was going on in the movie, still just read super gay to me, because I was like, you're like, oh, you're so close, you're cuddling, you're scratching the head, you care, like you have, and she cares. She cares a lot, you know?
There's something inherently just very gay about their fight at the birthday party. Like, the reason she's, like, she is so heartbroken that Drea has forgotten her birthday. Just, like, absolutely destroyed over it. Like, she was going to call off the whole thing until Drea destroyed her, like, ruined her birthday party. Right. And it wasn't about ruining the party. It was about forgetting and, like, not being a good enough friend.
Like, she had, like, buried the hatchet. She was like, I've made my peace with this because...
She was like, it's fine. I like her. We're friends now.
More than friends, but yes.
Yeah. But she was, like, cool with it. She was like, okay, I can get over my, like, middle school vendetta. But then she, like, you know, doesn't remember her birthday, and like, I just feel like being that upset about it when, like, it's their first, like, it's not like they've been friends for 100 years and like you should know better, like you should know when this person's birthday is, but like they just, it's just been this 1 year,
but
she's never had a birthday.
They're so close already, Kristen.
I know, and she told her,
she told her yesterday, like she genuinely should know, but like,
god damn it, Drea,
do better.
And I do feel like if Drea was just like slightly less self-involved, we would have had them get together so much earlier.
Yes.
But that's the point, right? Like, Drea has turned into what she thought she was pretending to be.
I also think like Drea's confession at the end, like where she says she would do it differently if she could go back in time, like is kind of admitting that like she did like her almost at 13 and just like could never have said it.
Well, okay. So let's go. I know that that's taking us back. Yeah. But like, the initial hurt.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes. Do it. Please take us there.
Because also in the car, Eleanor says that she was basically in love with Drea.
Yeah.
She's like,
she said she existed on this other plane. She glowed. Like the way she describes Drea is like ethereal. Mm-hmm. Like she was so in love with her.
And she said she made me feel safe and comfortable. So like, in what scenario are two 13-year-old girls, like, in such an intimate situation, just the two of them, and she felt so, like, connected to her that she came out to her? Like, that's a gay coming out. Like, that's
and
you're coming out
to
another lesbian.
And this was, like, their first time they've ever spoken, too. Like, the first time that she's ever really spoken to her.
And the reaction that Drea had
is to
basically
in
panic.
That situation is
gay
to panic. And like barricade her closet door shut, right? And be like, oh my God, this predatory lesbian tried to kiss me. That is a closeted gay reaction, right? Because, and okay, hold on. Sorry. I'm having, you're blowing my mind, Ellie, with this digging down this rabbit hole, because Drea at the time wasn't the Drea that she has become by now, right? Like, I get that there is a point that Drea has reached now of the narcissism, of the facade, of the disassociating from who she is entirely and losing herself. This was a long time ago. This was before all of this, right? Like, she would not have been that person yet. So what prompted that response? Because she doesn't, there's no other point where you get the feeling that like, oh yeah, like 4 years ago, she was also like a, you know, raging narcissistic bitch. Like, they don't, well, this they don't build that backstory.
Some sort of
for
like
her.
Really local like camp, because even like her, like so many people that were at that school were also at that camp. Like, didn't they say like Nosy North, like Tara knew about it. Like all of those people that she's friends with now knew about it. So like she was probably attempting to like get in with that crowd from then. Like 13 is around the time when you start having to like create that persona for yourself. Like she probably
I could see her just being the type of person then who would still just be like, oh, you're gay, okay. Like there's no need for her to throw Eleanor under the bus the way that she did, unless
she's scared that people will think she's gay.
She is like shoving herself back in the closet and being like, I cannot in any way be associated with this. And she's like throwing Eleanor under the bus, being like, this scary lesbian trying to kiss me, I don't want that, you know? And I'm like, that's a gay panicked response to that.
Yep. I mean, it's the same Regina George gay panic that we've seen.
Yeah, it's basically, actually, it's a very similar origin story. Yeah.
I mean, this film is very Mean Girls inspired.
Yeah.
In a cool, in an interesting way.
It's almost the same origin story, pretty much.
Yes.
It's not a regular teen movie. It's a cool teen movie, Ellie. Yeah.
But, like, I think that that's what makes it so, like, inherently gay, which is, like, how I feel like a lot of people have experienced that, like, that exact thing on both sides. On, like, I'm a closeted lesbian and I'm scared. And, like, I will say, like, that was me. Like, I had every one of my friends come out to me, like, so many of them. And, like, every single time they'd come out to me, like, I didn't say, hey, this is a predatory lesbian who kissed me. But when I was in high school, like, one of my friends came out to me and I was like, I have to distance myself from her. Like, it was like, oh, we drifted apart. But, like, I know deep down, like, we drifted apart because she came out to me.
Because
and I was like, I think it's freaking me out that every person that I'm friends with is a lesbian. Like, this is
like
weird.
It's like the world is trying to tell me something and I'm
so
not ready
like,
to hear
maybe
it.
Maybe I should get some more straight friends. And then
very,
did.
Very much the plugging your ears approach to just like la 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 la.
Literally. Well, it was my senior year and she had just gone to college. And so my junior year, we were super close. Then she went to college and then she came back for like break and was like, so I need to tell you something. Like, I went to college and now I'm gay.
I went to college and I'm gay now.
And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I was like, okay, I'm fine in the moment. But then afterwards I was like, all right, bye. Never talking again.
Oh no, baby.
Yeah.
Baby,
but like,
king.
That's real. That is real.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and like, that's a very common real gay response to that.
I feel like you guys have talked a lot before about how like just people in the closet, like when you're closeted, like you're not the nicest person usually. Like, I mean, you're already, it's just, it's hard. Like, you can't really be like a nice person while you're also trying to like protect yourself.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, Drea has so much other shit too, right? It's like, okay, she's in the closet, she's trying to protect herself from that. She doesn't have as much money as anyone in her school, so she's like always in fight or flight. And so like the only person that she cannot be in that with is Eleanor. And that's why I feel like, just to bring it back, like, their love story is so nice, because you're like,
yeah,
this is the
person. Fact that she trusts Eleanor to be at her house, a thing that she never allows anyone at. Like, I mean,
not
she
Max,
doesn't bring
not Tara,
anyone there.
And she's like, come in my bed, Eleanor, NBD.
Like, they're constantly in bed together. They're in bed together a lot.
Dude, like, they are either in bed together, or Drea is like, the amount of times that she talks to Eleanor while gently and lovingly cupping her head in her hands, like
holding her neck, like massaging along the little hairs at the back of the neck. Like, what are you doing?
Like, once again, Ellie, I love you so much, but like,
we would
if
never
we had a whole conversation the entire time with just like gently, like, cradling your entire face lovingly in my hands, like,
well, it would be difficult because we'd have to stand on like steps.
Yeah, I'd need a stool.
But that is a dating move.
That's not a platonic friend thing.
Friends don't do that.
No.
Like, I'll give you, maybe they're like, okay, fine, she's doing her makeup, she has to be close. The number of conversations that they have at a face distance apart that is just not straight platonic distance. That's not how we talk to each other. That's not how girls talk. Like, no. That's not a thing. I don't just go up and, like, talk to my friends by being like, grab your face, bring it 3 inches from my face, and then have, like, a passionate, intense discussion about, like, revenge. No, that's not.
And call yourself revenge mommy and tell her to make you proud.
Oh, my God.
Like, are you kidding?
Listen.
Really?
the tension between the two of them is...
She also refers to herself as Frankenstein. Else. And her as and Eleanor as Frankenstein's bad bitch. And like horror is inherently queer. So like, I just think.
So true. So true. No, they have a lot of conversations like that is all I'm saying. And like, it's a lot to sit through. That's all.
It's a lot.
It's a whole lot. And I'm kind of into it. And
I feel like, so I had one more thing about Tara. I think Tara actually is kind of has a thing for Eleanor too, like at
ooh,
one point.
Ooh, yeah.
Because
go there.
Tara, like the second that she sees Eleanor and realizes that she like doesn't know who this hot chick is, she's like, oh my God, who are you? And she like strokes her arm really slowly and like she's like really into it. Like I don't know. I felt like there was something there.
Well, yeah. And she immediately invites her. She's like, you're with us now.
Yeah, she's like, come lay with us on our little weird love couch.
Yeah, well, yeah, she's like, I lost my last girlfriend. Like,
yeah, she needs a new girlfriend.
I have a void to fill. Listen.
She needs a new girl.
She mm-hmm. needs a new girl. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, it's funny, Kristen, that I had not even thought to look up fan fiction of these two yet because I bet it's
literally all Eleanor and Drea. There's almost nothing with Gat. Like there are ones where they're still dating the others, but like it is end game to be Drea and Eleanor. So like the whole point is that they're gonna break up. Like, or there's a lot of like jealousy ones where like they're like you know, it's just
well because let's be fair, their energy is fucking toxic a lot of the time.
Their energy is very possessive and toxic.
It's toxic in the way that lesbians love, and like we're not gonna apologize for that. It's
I'm into it. I think it's hot. Like I'm here for it. Like
yeah,
she hears about how toxic they are, and then is like, let me keep being in on that. Like,
and then too. Okay, so let's talk about Drea and Eleanor towards the end. As we talk about Endgame, right? Like, we find out that Eleanor's batshit has been planning this revenge for however many years.
For like 5 years.
Honestly, hair up on my arms when Eleanor is cooking
the grilled cheese.
Grilled cheese and then she gives her the burnt one.
Insane energy.
I really
in that
liked
scene.
her bathtub scene where like Oscar winner Olivia Colman has their own bathtub.
Yes.
Like, and they're both in like little matching bathtubs.
Wait, I also had another note about Oscar winner Olivia Colman, which is, first of all, the name is super gay because, of course, it's Eleanor. But second, for Drea.
Drea starts making
outfits for her girlfriend's animal.
For their shared lizard.
Yeah, like,
they now own
so
together.
True. That's not straight.
Like, she immediately bonds with the lizard and makes it little dresses and stuff. Like, what are you doing? Like, that's not straight activity.
Not straight. But yes, Eleanor, scary as hell, Glenergy on fire.
The Glenergy
is real. And I feel like, I mean, this moment between them is like so intense, but also super sexually charged.
Like every moment between them.
And then, but I feel like the thing that I love about this whole story in general is like, okay, now we finally get the real person that we need to get revenge on. Fucking Max.
Yeah.
Finally gets Max. His shit.
But but he only gets his shit because Eleanor
has that
Eleanor
double assurance,
comes
baby.
To that party prepared.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Like, and she, I mean, I'm sure you can look at it as like, oh, she comes prepared to like
destroy
finally
all of them.
Like destroy Drea's life, but like she easily could have like easily and instead just
she probably has enough footage on there to do it.
Yes, takes the very first opportunity to like step in and
save Drea,
throw it all away for the girl of her dreams, and is like, boom bitch, double assurance. And you're like, sick.
Well, and I also think wouldn't have had that moment if Drea hadn't had a change of heart too and was like,
that's
even
true.
Though you came at me like a complete psycho, I still love you.
She even also, though like, you hit me
far.
With your car.
No,
in
but, like,
car.
Oh my God, I forgot.
No, okay. But like there's a difference between like love tap hitting someone with your car and like I don't know. Like, I just felt like Drea putting went
someone
too
in
far.
The hospital. Yeah.
No.
I felt like the nosy Nora.
I felt like when Drea brought up the nosy Nora thing, like, I honestly felt like that was too far. Like, there are some things you can attack and some things you can't. And, like, that.
So
was
someone's
too far,
entire
was...
physical body's fine.
I just, you know, I just thought.
You're like, skeletal damage is acceptable, but emotional's where I draw the line, you know?
I just thought that was worse. I don't know why. Like, to me, that just seems worse. I don't know. But She's preying on her insecurities.
She is praying. Yeah.
Sticks and stones are totally fine, but words are where I draw the line. There we go. I got you, Kristen.
Yeah.
I got
you. See, thank you. See, that is a real thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Sticks and stones, okay.
Yes, like, famously a real thing that
you
say
just made
is
up.
That.
Yeah, yeah, I love it. Oh, also when she's in the hospital, she says, I was going to bring you an Elsa balloon.
An Elsa balloon.
Which is just the gayest of all Disney princesses.
The gayest one you could choose.
Come on.
Also, can we talk about Sarah Michelle Gellar aggressively trimming her, like, freaking bonsai? Like, are you kidding me? She's aggressively trimming her bush right now. Like, are you, really?
That
really?
Was the most innuendo. She literally was like, it's going to be bald by the end of this. I'm like, what
bald.
Are you doing?
Like, what is this for? Like, that couldn't have been anything else. Like, that had, it had to be what it was.
No. That was for sure what it was supposed to be. For sure.
She just wanted to talk about her bush with Drea, okay? I'm sorry.
And so intense. But yeah, at that final scene, like, we wouldn't have had Max. We wouldn't have brought Max down if Drea didn't bring Eleanor to, like, apologize to her and basically say, like,
yeah,
I am so sorry. I should not have done that. I don't know why I keep, like, bringing myself down to their level. You're the only person that I've ever cared about. You're the only person I've had any fun with this entire year. And she says only person.
The only one, which implies that she didn't have any fun with Russ.
Full well knowing she literally had an entire, like, fun paint scene with Russ. And she just said it wasn't fun.
She's like, Russ went down on me how many times? None of that was fun.
No.
Not even a single time was fun.
Only. She says the only person. That really got me.
I also like when they go through that, like, little lights tunnel and it looks like they're in a tunnel of love at, like, a carnival.
Oh, my God.
Looks,
they,
like,
for
really
sure.
Precious.
And they, listen, they should have. There are so many times in this movie where I'm just like, and kiss. Like,
the pinning the brooch was very sexually charged.
Yes.
I wrote that down so hard. She, first of all, like, Drea's boobs are just, like, squished up. And she, like, super slowly is just, like, spends her time putting the brooch right around where her boobs are. Oh, it is so intense.
It's so much. I also, the beach scene at the end, like, when they're just, like, sitting and, like, casually drinking their champagne bottles on the beach at the end before they run
the
into the water together. And I'm just
they
like,
run
that's
off into the sunset. Like, come
that's
on. That's
when you
the
make
ending.
Out. That's when you do your hot beach make out in the water. Like,
they could have just made out and on the sand or something. And then that could be it. Like, they don't have to get back with, like, they could have just, like, they could have ended it there. They didn't have to bring back
I
in
the others.
I
hate the credit scene.
Like,
yes.
That was so unnecessary.
Or they, like, could have kissed in the car when they get in the car together at the end. Like,
End it with the Thelma and Louise car scene. Like, do that.
They literally, oh God, they get into a car singing Bitch.
Right.
That is the gayest song ever.
Yes.
They could have literally just kissed then and then driven off into the sunset together and we wouldn't even be having this discussion. Like,
Drea has her arm around Eleanor and Eleanor's like, yes, finally.
Yeah.
Well, and also Eleanor, like, okay, here's why I love this final scene, because Eleanor does not go back to being, like, the chill t-shirt, backwards baseball cap lesbian that, like, she has been the
apparently
whole time.
For the past 5 years.
She's like, oh, I gotta go pick up Drea. I better wear, like, a cute deep V pushed up, get the girls on display, do the little wave from the car, kind of lesbian. Jeez. Where she's like, Drea, you couldn't see them in my t-shirts, but, like, do
Drea,
you see them now?
Cute,
are you into
don't,
them?
Do you like my boobs look good? Like, literally, she changes her outfit after hitting Drea with a car so that she can wear a nicer outfit for Drea to see her in. Like, what are you doing?
Literally,
unreal.
There was no one. The only person she was going to run into was Drea.
Was Drea at the hospital. Like, she changed for her. She's like, yes, I hit you with my car, but also, have you seen my boobs?
insane.
Unhinged.
Also, that jumpsuit itself, isn't that like rainbow colored?
It's a lot. It wasn't like, rainbow, but it was a lot.
It's yeah. almost like Halloween spooky colors.
It was like yeah. weirdly clown like. I don't know what was going on there.
Yeah. But the costuming in this sure. is on point.
The wardrobe was kind of amazing the entire time, honestly. Also, like, I don't know if anyone else noticed this but me, but Carissa and Russ have matching friendship necklaces.
I didn't Wait, know who
and
that.
So, yeah, they're both wearing these, like, padlock necklaces the whole time. And I'm like, okay, so, like, what is that? Like, you guys are wearing matching necklaces. Like, I don't know. I just felt like there's something they're not telling us.
There's something Russ they're has, not telling
there's
us.
There's something they're not telling us. Russ what? Has, like, very queer energy, too. Like, I don't know. Like, I could see... Like, Russ maybe being, like, trans, and then, like, you could put them together. I don't know.
Or Russ bisexual hooks up with Max at the end. You know, give us something.
No.
I genuinely think Max and what's that guy's
Elliot.
Name? Elliot. I think that they've, like, done
oh,
it.
Oh, they're going to fall in love. Oh, they for sure have.
There's a point yes. where Elliot literally says, I love you, not like a friend.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Yeah. Listen, I don't know of a delicate way to put this, but, like... Their dicks have been in each other's mouths, like, for sure.
Well,
like,
also, I mean, that's not a question.
Least,
it's okay,
that's
not a question. I'm like, I don't know a delicate way to say this either, but, like,
Elliot loves eating ass. He tells literally everyone that we finna be eating any ass we want. I mean, he's literally like, go eat
yeah,
ass
that's his whole
right
thing.
Now. I can't laugh this hard without coughing.
He
can't do that.
He has, like, 20-minute conversation about why everyone needs to be eating absolutely any ass they can. It's incredible. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean,
I've never in my life heard a straight man like talk that much about eating ass. Like, it's just not a thing.
No,
that's not.
And I'm done. I gotta go, everyone.
Goodbye,
that's
goodbye.
That's me for the episode.
And we didn't know we were gonna get here, but here we are.
Wow.
But I amazing. Agree that Elliot and Max have some sort of thing together, but I also feel like at the end Elliot was like there. I think Elliot was really in love with Max, so like yeah. when he sees the video of Max being a complete dick, I think he's like, wow, like he
actually hurt.
Yeah, he because he's like, get out too.
Yeah, like, which he has never turned on him before, because even before he knew it was him, like during that whole exchange where it's like, I love you, Dre, I wouldn't do that to you.
Oh,
like,
yeah, his face.
His face was like fucking, like he didn't believe him at all.
No. But yeah.
Like, nobody believed him.
I think his whole vendetta against Drea was like, I feel like Elliot was like, wow, you cared about Drea more than me.
Yeah.
That's why he's like, get out. Goodbye. Damn. But yeah, Drea, so how many fanfics are up right now of Drea and Eleanor?
We can check.
Oh, let's go. Yeah, let's get some stats. Let's get the numbers.
Do you have one that you like? We haven't read a good fic on the show in a while. I feel like it'd be good to like end with a fun fanfic of Drea and Eleanor. Just like
I felt like the whole time, like, so what I liked about Eleanor and Drea is like when Eleanor was like, I'm in charge now, and like, I don't know, like that really did it for me. I don't know. I mean, I felt like she was like 2 seconds away from busting out a collar and just like handing it to it to Drea.
Yep. I don't know of a delicate way to say this.
Oh god.
I don't know.
I don't know of a delicate way to say this, but these two would be fucking insane in bed together.
Yeah. Absolutely
like,
crazy.
Unreal. Unreal.
Yeah. I also like genuinely think they'd have like a weird pet owner dynamic. Like I'm like, where is it? Like I'm just waiting for it personally. I've actually there are already fanfics.
They already
of that,
do
so,
have
like,
pet owner dynamics with Revenge Mommy.
They already do with the Revenge Mommy yeah. thing. And then I just feel like there's that like femdom energy. And I just want one of them to put a collar on. I don't think that's too much to ask, honestly.
No.
I feel like these two, we're going to go to some weird places. I feel like these two.
I'm just over here. Like, can we put one of them on a leash and like just show it? I just want to see it. I just yeah. think I deserve it.
I feel like we deserve that. I also feel like we deserve the fact that I would die on this hill. You cannot convince me that these two would not invite the headmaster into their bedroom together.
Oh, for sure.
And be
and
like,
also, like, for whatever reason, Sarah Michelle Gellar as a headmaster has, like, a lot of femdom energy.
Yes.
Like, in those suits.
Yes.
Like, she's really crushing it. The way she walks, even. Just, like, something about it. Really
she's
commanding.
So good in this. I, like, listen. As though I didn't love Sarah Michelle Gellar enough, her in this movie, I was just like, what a delightful cameo to like see you back on our screens in, because what is happening? Like, what is happening? What was the direction that was given for this character? Was the direction that was given like, hey, basically come in and like be borderline like inappropriate with all of your female students? Because like,
it has to be.
Okay.
What else could it have been?
I mean, couldn't tell you.
She also, I liked her little like callback where she's like, you're never more alive than when you're 17. You know, I thought that was cute.
Sorry, I'm in a zone finding this fanfic. An alternate version of the beach scene. This is what I want.
Yes.
This is what I want.
Okay, wait. While Ellie looks up fanfiction, can we just do like a quick, I'm going to call it a lesbian rabbit hole, even though this is like the furthest thing from that. I did not realize, because I think I watched the PLL reboot after I watched this movie, I did not clock Montana as being Noah from the PLL reboot, which I get that the PLL reboot also wasn't gay, but also it was gay.
But also it was.
We probably will be talking about that at some point.
But
as
also
well.
It was.
But by the transitive property,
the
Kristen,
entire origin story of the PLL reboot is gay,
yes.
So therefore it's gay,
and it feels like a lesbian rabbit hole to me, but yes. Anyways, right. I don't know where we are now. What's happening? What are we talking about?
We're going to read this fanfic. Let me read who it's by. So this is by Heavy Air. It's called Do Revenge, A Lingering Feeling, An Alternate Ending to the Beach Scene.
Which is all we needed.
So
really.
I will be reading for Eleanor. Kristen, you'll be reading for Drea. And Lee, you'll be the narrator.
What do you want?
The brunette whispers, as much as she can while standing this close and in this cool of water and with this amount of alcohol in her system.
This.
The blonde murmurs back just as quietly. And as her fingers finally round Drea's shoulders, Eleanor lets them rush to hold either side of the brunette's face. Sorry, of course, because they are constantly cupping
that's
each other's
how,
face.
That's
okay.
Her thing.
It's Drea who closes the space between them, their lips finally meeting, their lips finally tasting one another, their lips finally dancing against one another. It's
I like the
short,
finalies in italics.
So many finalies. It's short and it's sweet and it's nice and it's fun. Then Drea's pulling back but keeps an ironclad hold onto the blonde's waist.
Hey, you want to fuck around and join the Peace Corps too?
Eleanor laughs, her breath slamming across the brunette's face.
Why the hell not?
This time, they both move, and the kiss becomes much, much, much deeper. And I just
hot,
like,
hot, hot.
That, I'm here for it.
That's why
I really like that they use this so nice, so sweet, so fun. Like when she's at the dinner scene.
That's
I love
why
it. Shout out to Heavy Air on AO3.
Honestly, yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that.
And also,
thank you. That's the ending that we all wanted. And I think, you know, we can all agree.
It's the ending we deserved.
It's the ending we deserved. That Do Revenge, particularly Drea and Eleanor, should have been gay.
Should have been gayer.
Should have been gayer. So who's our ship?
Well, clearly.
I mean, please.
So Drea and Eleanor, what's our ship name?
Do they have one, Kristen? You would know.
I honestly don't know. I haven't seen anyone like use
Drelinor.
One.
Yeah, Drelinor. Elea.
Yeah, Elea, Drelinor.
Good enough
Elenea.
For me.
I'm kind of here for Drelinor.
Drea.
What did we
Drelinor.
Just say?
Drelinor.
I've lost it already.
Drelinor.
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 Yeah.
Drelinor.
Yeah. All right, it's time. Let's do our Q&A.
Wait. No, I'm sorry. I know that. Wait, but hold on. I have so many other ships, Ellie.
There
are
so many more ships, Ellie.
All right, fine.
What
I'm sorry. More
we got
ships,
a ship, Drea and Tara. Okay.
Drea and Tara.
Okay. Drera.
But their names are so short.
Yeah.
Treya.
Treya. I got nothing.
Treya.
Treya. I'm here for it. I ship them.
Treya.
I ship. Wait, what's the other? It's not Montana. What's the other one?
Megan.
Megan and Montana, I ship them so hard.
Okay, yeah.
Like, they're
I
so clearly
like,
together.
They're already together.
So this is, like, stupid because it was, like, 5 seconds, but right at the beginning, there was this girl named Ariana who wanted to wear Drea's skin.
Yes.
And I just felt like, you know, let her. Like, I just,
so,
like...
Ariana
wait,
and Drea's skin?
I'm still on Megan and Montana,
Ariana
and, like, I'm still... Hold on. I'm still on Megan and Montana, and I don't know what a delicate way to say
what?
but like their tongues.
Oh my god.
Okay, sorry. Let's continue. Who else do I ship? I ship the headmaster with fucking everyone in this movie.
Everyone.
Just everyone. I don't even know.
What's her name? Erica, the girl who she
Erica
throws out for
and
crack.
Her friend Jessica.
Erica and her friend Jessica. God, Erica,
I don't know the delicate way to say this.
They've snort cocaine off each other's clips.
Way to say this. Yeah. Oh my god! I was gonna say she like eats cocaine out of her ass, like you know, like you do. But you know,
I feel like that can't be safe. What do not do this at home.
This episode.
Do not do this at home.
Do that.
What's happening?
I do not recommend doing that.
This movie has made us unhinged.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's the revenge mommy of it. But
it's the revenge mommy of it all.
Also, like the fact that that's Sophie Turner. Sophie Turner was so good.
What a such a good cameo. Like just incredible.
When she is incredible. Drawing the picture of Drea,
Erica's drawing of like the horned Drea.
She also gets
like,
real close to Drea.
Her obsession with her like vendetta against Drea is also a little gay, and the way she holds
so
Drea's
true.
Face. Like, what was that? Like, I love
there
your
is
earballs.
A lot of
like,
face
okay.
cupping in this movie, okay?
A lot.
Like, I kind of think everybody, like, Drea was right at the beginning with the cupcakes when she said everybody wants to take a bite out of her. Like, she's right, but, like, in a sexual way.
Yes.
Okay. That's all I'm saying. I ship a lot of other people. Please let me have my ships. Thank
Lots
you.
Of ships. All right, now.
Ships, thank you.
And now we're going to go to our Q&A. Here we go.
Wait, we didn't talk about Allegra.
The Instagram witch?
Yeah, the Instagram witch.
Oh, my God. Like, we all know witch equals gay. Her entire
Therefore,
coven, gay.
I think Allegra's dating her whole
oh,
coven,
Oh, yeah. Also,
basically.
The thing that cracked me up, she made a girl levitate, quote, unquote, at a sleepover. She was
we saw
levitating.
Buffy. We know yeah, what yeah. makes girls sure. levitate, okay? Yeah.
We know.
That's
all I'm saying.
We know what you're talking about.
We know. But you're correct. Instagram witch, gay. Clearly gay.
Okay, Ellie, now it's time.
Now it's time for our Q&A. Here we go.
Q and gay.
Question number one. Who is your fave actual lesbian in Do Revenge? A, Eleanor, B, Carissa, or C, Gabby?
Obviously, Eleanor.
Good choice.
Good answer. Question two. What was Eleanor's most unhinged moment out of A, bricking Drea's car, B, taking down Carissa, C, hitting Drea with her car, or D, the final max takedown?
I feel like it's really unhinged to hit someone with your car. So, I mean, probably that.
Fair enough.
For me, I feel like the most egregious thing she did was give her the burnt grilled cheese.
Ellie with a write-in option. I love it.
Like, that was messed up.
I mean,
like,
that
you
is
have
pretty
one good
up.
Grilled cheese and one burnt one, and you give Drea the burnt one. Like,
you always give your...
That's messed up.
But is she really the guest if, like, it's her own house? So, like, technically...
Yeah, messed up. All right, question number three. What is Eleanor's best outfit? A, backwards baseball cap, B, purple beret, C, 70s flower shirt, or D, plastic bucket hat?
I mean, to be fair, like, she's also in a bikini when she has on the plastic bucket hat. So, like, I don't really think I can be blamed for, like,
Well, I was trying not to objectify her, but fine.
I mean, I wasn't trying, to be honest.
But good answer.
I mean, to be fair, Drea's objectifying her. Drea, like,
so
dresses
true.
Her like that.
So true. Drea's like, put the girls on display. Okay. Question four. And listen, I just want you to know it was really hard to filter it down to just four choices here because there are endless choices. So out of these four choices, when should Drea and Eleanor have kissed? A,
the
first
times.
Makeover. B, on shrooms. C, bed cuddles. Or D, on the beach.
I think they should have first kissed in the bed cuddles, and then they should have kissed again on the beach. Because I don't want them to kiss for the first time on shrooms, because I want them to kiss for the first time when they can, like, really, you know, like, be sober and remember it and, like, be really into it.
True.
And I don't
true.
Want them to think, like, oh, maybe we only kissed because we're on shrooms. Because you can get out of it that way. You can
Consent
be like, oh, no,
important.
I didn't mean it. We were just, yeah. like, ha.
But also give me the fic where they do kiss on shrooms, and then both of them are like, it was probably just that because they were on drugs and they're not actually in love with me, too.
Oh,
and
my
then,
God, yes. That would add
then,
so much tension.
And then you get the angst and tension out of it. Someone
yes.
write me that fic, please, and thank you.
Well, and okay. also we didn't yes. really talk about that scene where they're both hiding in the bathroom stall. They're so
yes.
close to each other in that bathroom stall. I think that's when they should have first kissed, because in the bathroom stall
they could have kissed there,
and they were not that much on shrooms.
But that's when they're
no.
on shrooms.
They're on shrooms, but like
they're really not
they
that
hit, like,
on shrooms. So I guess
like,
you're right. Yeah,
the two of
it
them clearly dosed okay. themselves. Like they didn't dose themselves in the same way that they dose the
but
rest of
these.
Did
they dose
people.
Themselves to have the freedom to finally kiss
yes.
each other? That's all.
That's
I'm,
what I'm okay. saying. Like, and
I think actually you're right. They weren't that high. Like, they could have kissed and it would have sort of still
and
been
they were
I think
so
it still
close
okay.
to each other in that bathroom stall.
Also, like, I'm sorry, but the way that she kicked that door open was really hot. And the fact that Drea managed to not just jump her in the stall is amazing. Like, honestly, she is the strongest of us. Like, she is
such
God's strongest soldier.
Such restraint.
All right. Question number five, our final question. Who is your revenge mommy? A, Drea, or B, Eleanor?
Oh, that's hard. I think Eleanor kind of, like, she put like 5 years of work into it. I mean, you gotta like really give it to her. I mean, that's impressive. That's a whole long game. And the long game, I mean, I don't have the patience for that. That's impressive. Like,
so impressive.
Just gotta give it up to her for that.
That's our Q and Gay. Listeners, you can answer on our Twitter at Let's Hang Out Pod. Kristen, thank you so much for hanging out with us and talking about this ridiculously gay,
bringing us your expertise
and beautiful film.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for giving me a reason to, now I can pretend that I watched it, you know, like 12 times or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
for this.
For
yeah,
a
yeah,
reason.
Yeah.
Like,
course,
for this.
Exactly.
It was definitely, it was all research for this. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just like my brain being completely unhinged and unable to do anything after it heard the words revenge mommy.
Yep. That's it.
And remind our listeners, Kristen, where they can find you on all the social medias.
You can find me on every social media at The Real K Sparkle, like Twilight Sparkle, but me.
Nice.
And yes, and I am everywhere. And then I'm also like bopping around behind the scenes at Les Hangout. So, you know, if you ever message us there or anything, I'll
it's probably Kristen.
So it's probably me.
Incredible. Thank you. This was so fun.
Let me hear you say hip, 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 yeah.
We love hearing from you and building community, so we want to shout out some of our favorite things each episode. And today, I have a huge apology.
It's Ellie's apology
for everyone in our audience. I got a little buck wild. I filmed about 16 to 17 Instagram reels in one day. And one of those reels, I talked about Wonder Woman. And I'm just so sorry that I said that Wonder Woman was in the Marvel universe. It was a huge oversight.
Really embarrassing.
Huge oversight on my part. Really embarrassing. And from the bottom of my heart, I am sorry.
She's sorry to you listeners. She's sorry to Wonder Woman. Just, you know.
All around sorry.
All around.
It's a sad day.
We also we also want to shout out, probably not a listener, but we're going to shout them out anyways. Just Instagram user Kapuka, who left us a comment on one of our some of you know, if you go on Instagram, we have graphics that we make of some of our quotes from our episodes, and we had a graphic about how long lesbian first dates last, and we just really enjoyed that someone took the time to comment saying that they were a lesbian and they didn't know what we were talking about, and to please not speak for all lesbians.
To which Lee responded
because to which we responded, so sorry, we have actually been elected to speak for all lesbians everywhere. We can and will fax you our credentials. Just, you know, reach out to our people. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Kristen will let you know. So listen, it made us laugh. They had a very good sense of humor about it, and we just thought it was hilarious. That's all.
It was incredible. Also, Lily reached out on Instagram, sending us Jamie Lee Curtis's post asking about the Freaky Friday revival, saying that we manifested it. We
so
met,
true.
And you're right. We just came out with a Freaky Friday should have been gay. And what did the studio say? Oh, Les Hangout covered it. Let's make a sequel.
Revival. And listen, I also think that it's great that the Freaky Friday episode was like right as the news that Lindsay Lohan is like finally making another movie.
It's like
came
we knew.
Out. So like as soon as we were like Lindsay Lohan, friend of the pod, she was like, I should make another movie. So all I'm saying is we did manifest
we did this.
You're right, Lily, and you should say it. Thank you.
Thank you. As always, want to thank our Lesbian Jesus patrons, Mark Foster,
Tanya Ferguson,
Jacqueline Rosashino,
Sarah and Julia,
Alana Rosen,
Lizette Stye,
Haiti Benitez,
and Fiona W.
And our King Princess patrons, Amy and Ellen,
Julia Gonzalez,
Leah Henley,
and Andrea Doucette.
Thank you all so much. We could not make this show without you.
Remember, you can also find us on all the social medias. We are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Les Hangout Pod.
You can email us at leshangoutpod@gmail.com.
Or you can check out our website at leshangoutpod.com.
Whatever app you use for podcasts, make sure you subscribe so be the first to know when new episodes drop.
We also have videos going up on our YouTube channel, so make sure that you subscribe at youtube.com/letshangoutpod to catch those.
Let's Hang Out is an independently produced show hosted by us with audio production by me. Our production assistant is Krista Murison, and Twitter shenanigans and all kinds of witty replies to our Instagram by Lee Holmes Foster.
If you want to help support our little independent team, the first way that you can do that is easy and it's free. Leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts app or on whatever app you use to listen to podcasts. That way it helps new people find the show.
If you want to join our Patreon, you can do that at bit.ly/lespatreon. By doing that, you get access to our monthly bonus episodes, Patreon only Les Essentials watch parties, our patron only Discord chat where we talk about all things gay, and our undying love. So you want to do that at bit.ly/lespatreon.
All of those things. If you want to pick up some merch, we have all of our designs. You can get them on all sorts of things like sweatshirts and totes and t-shirts and tank tops. So whatever climate you happen to be in, whatever time of year it is where you are, you can get our designs at our TeePublic. You can find it at bit.ly/lesshop.
And remember, we have a queer production company making queer podcast musicals with guaranteed happy endings. You can find everywhere at Dollar Bean Prod.
You can also check out our website, dollarbeanproductions.com.
You can also listen to all of the episodes of our first show, The Flame, on any podcasting app.
And if you want to help support us in making more musicals, we are working on our next show, Journey to the Heart, right now. We have started recording. We are hard at work to get that show finished. If you want to help support us doing that or also getting The Flame into maybe a full staged production, you can join our Patreon specifically for our musicals at bit.ly/dollarbeanpatreon.
If you want to find us individually, you can find me at Ellie Brigida on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok.
And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSH Foster.
With that, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee.
And let's hang out again soon.
Let's hang out.